Hello and welcome. I have with me Simon. Hi, Simon.
Hi.
Right. We're gonna, I suppose, talk a little bit today about OpenID, identity, privacy. But good starting point, I think, would be, what's your general impression of Webstock in New Zealand? And do you get a sense of the energy here?
Oh, well, I've been at Webstock all week. We had a week in the North Island beforehand, and we're about to start 2 weeks in the South Island. It's just been incredible. We've seen volcanoes and kiwi and more volcanoes and just so much fantastic stuff. And Webstock's been really great. I don't think I've ever seen a conference with such a fantastic lineup of sort of people from all over the place. And the speakers have all been treated superbly well. So yeah, it's been really good.
That's excellent. Did you get any sense of what's happening around in the local community and how you'd compare that with other conferences and international developments?
Not so much at Webstock, but I was at I attended KiwiFoo last weekend, and that was really interesting getting a feel for the kind of things that people in New Zealand are up against. Things like people were talking about setting up new online advertising networks and stuff.
If we look at OpenID, I think the first question very much was a more, what's your sense of where we are in the big picture of things with OpenID?
So, I mean, it's been interesting. I've been interested in OpenID for about a year and a half now, and sort of 4 months after I got interested in it, it started really picking up steam. And so the past year has just been incredible. Like, there hasn't been a major internet company I can think of that hasn't made some kind of OpenID announcement. The most recent, of course, is Yahoo actually launched their OpenID provider at the end of January, and I think Google, IBM, Yahoo, VeriSign, all of these companies are now involved with the OpenID Foundation itself. So I'm expecting some pretty incredible things from OpenID, especially OpenID 2, in the, over the next few months.
Right. It's almost like we're at a point where we've got this shiny new toy and we're still trying to figure out where
it fits. Yeah, I mean, it's certainly early days. I mean, the question a year ago, the question was, will this thing actually grow legs? Will this take off at all? Today, it's taking off. It's I mean, the thing about OpenID is it's clearly sort of the only solution to these kinds of problems that's politically acceptable to people because of where it came from, because it came from sort of grassroots movement, because nobody owns the whole thing, and because it's designed for decentralization, it's the only thing that companies can actually agree to use, because none of them end up with the upper hand. And so it's very obviously happening, but yeah, it's still very early in terms of how we figure out what we can do.
And there are consumers of identities.
There aren't more providers than consumers, but there are a lot of big providers, and the consumers tend to be sort of small things. They'll be blogs or wikis or whatever dotted around. And that doesn't actually bother me too much because, I mean, someone like Yahoo will come out with an OpenID provider and they'll instantly be criticized because people go, oh, this is another thing where you'll give us an OpenID but you won't let us log in with an OpenID. But really, if you're a large company with an established user base, the benefits of accepting OpenID are much less than if you're a small company. Small companies need people to sign up. They need to make it as easy as possible to gain new users. And that's really where OpenID is going to help them out. Yahoo have 250 million users already. So with OpenID, what they're essentially doing is making those users available to everybody else. And that's fine. It doesn't bother me that they're not accepting OpenID yet. I expect that in time, certainly parts of Yahoo will start to accept it. But really, when it comes to consumers, the people I'm looking to are the startups. The small companies, they're just getting started. Any barrier to users trying out their stuff is a bad thing. And the more we see them adopt OpenID, well, I think the first big social network that you'll be able to log into with OpenID will have started as a small social network, and it'll have just naturally grown bigger and sort of really breathed the concept from that.
In a sense, people have to accept a new paradigm of the relationship between a site and authentication.
Yes, absolutely. And it's going to be driven by the early adopters. All of these things are, but OpenID in particular hits problems that early adopters have much earlier than anyone else. And the great thing about early adopters is that they try your technology out, they get it working, they figure out what it works and what it doesn't, and then they're the people who start explaining to everyone else. So this is what I'm fully expecting to happen.
And I just wanted to pick up on one of the things that you gave in your presentation earlier today, because typically when we talk about OpenID, we tend to restrict it to single sign-on and attribute exchange. But what you did really well was to put OpenID in the context of decentralized social networks and draw in the fact that in addition to OpenID, the other parts of the ecosystem are all working together.
Yeah.
And really the end game isn't logons, but it's creation of decentralized social networks. I thought if you could just expand on that, because we don't hear enough about that.
Well, I mean, the thing I've always had with OpenID is that the single sign-on is a very small part of it. What's really interesting is once you've got these identifiers, which are also web pages, and they're globally unique, you can start tying them together, and you can say, this list of OpenIDs, these are the people who are my friends, or these are the people who I want to be able to comment on my weblog, and you can just expand it up from there. And so the decentralized social networking thing is much bigger than just OpenID, but one of the requirements for being able to do the kinds of things you do on MySpace and Facebook, but without everyone having to use the same service, well, firstly, you need people to be able to authenticate with multiple different services while maintaining that single identity, which is something like OpenID can help with. And secondly, you need tools for being able to sort of reference an identity from one site to another site, which again, an OpenID being a URL, it really helps you do that. But there are other technologies as well. There are things like OAuth, which is the standard for being able to say, this site over here has permission to access my photos, including my private ones, but I don't have to give it my username and password for it to do so. And that simple ability, being able to delegate permission to another application in a controlled way, it opens up an enormous range of opportunities for data sharing between different sites and for sort of social mashups, if you like. In my talk, I actually didn't mention the Google Open Social stuff, because to date, that's been more about ways of writing applications that then go and sit inside these big social networks, which I'm less interested in. I know that Open Social does intend to tackle some of these larger concepts eventually. I think it'll get a lot more interesting once it actually starts doing that, starts sort of breaking out of the data silos a bit more.
Yeah. And that's really interesting, because I think it goes back to some of the criticisms that continue to be leveled against OpenID. So we get a sense of feeling that OpenID is now ready for big time. And yet there's quite a few posts and discussions about some of the things that keep niggling away at OpenID. You know, we talk about security, we talk about acceptability, privacy issues. One of the big ones is the lack of a trust anchor.
Yep.
Do you think that's going to limit OpenID, or that's just challenges that we need to overcome?
I mean, the thing I like about OpenID above any other sort of alternatives is it's the simplicity. It's what it does is just so incredibly simple that all of these bigger picture issues, things like privacy and trust and so on, OpenID skirts them entirely with the expectation that solutions that will be built on top of the OpenID layer. So, I mean, privacy is something which is often comes down to individual sites and the policies that they implement. And I think there's going to be quite some work done by sites to work out not only the sort of standards of privacy they're going to use, but how they communicate those to users. But that's really that's nothing to do with OpenID. OpenID can sit there at the bottom of the layer and essentially punt that off onto other people. And that's fine, because I mean, privacy is a problem people are already dealing with. There are already mechanisms in place. There are already groups that are looking into that, and they can sort of take that problem separately from OpenID. The issue with OpenID, the severe security issue with OpenID is always the phishing side of things, which again, there are a number of really promising initiatives towards that. The best solutions to phishing tend to be the ones that integrate directly with your browser. And thankfully, most browsers are developing at quite an aggressive pace at the moment, and they're competing on features. So Firefox, Mozilla has talked about OpenID support in Firefox. I think Opera have considered that kind of thing as well. And obviously, once one of the browsers gets that feature and gets it right, the other browsers will be following quite quickly behind. As for trust, again, the trust stuff with OpenID is left up to the consumers and up to the providers.
Yeah.
And so you could have a consumer that says, I'm only going to accept OpenIDs from these five providers because I know that they validate that that person is a real human being,
yeah.
Which is actually a very difficult thing to do. But it is possible. It's possible for some identity providers to do that. They might have an existing relationship with customers through billing mechanisms or something. And the beauty of OpenID is that once you've got one organization that's done that legwork, they can share that information, they can make it available through OpenID to thousands of sites that could never have made the investment to establish that before. So there's a huge amount of potential for all kinds of new business models and all kinds of new types of identity provider and identity consumer. And OpenID knows nothing of it. It's a stupid layer right at the bottom which just does one thing and leaves all of the complexities to be built on top of it.
So I guess picking up on the two things, and I'll come back to them separately, but the first thing was about the OpenID provider doing the identity proofing or understanding who a person actually is mm-hmm. in real life, and then asserting that that person is that person.
Yes.
And presumably there would be some sort of liability layer or a trust layer. But really the question there is looking at, for example, the Estonians,
mm-hmm.
where the government has set up an OpenID provider based on known identity of people.
Yeah.
Do you think that's a good model, and is that something you would recommend people taking up?
I mean, that's something that's pretty far above my head, the sort of political and social consequences of that level of OpenID support are pretty baffling to me. So it's not something that I've personally really sort of examined, just because there are such large issues at stake there. But the Estonian thing is absolutely fascinating, and I think it's going to end up, I mean, just watching what happens in Estonia will really help other sort of large-scale OpenID implementations figure out what's going on.
So that's a nationwide implementation?
Yeah, it's tied directly into their electronic ID cards. That's 1.5 million people who have a smart card authenticated OpenID, which ties to their actual citizenship and their real-world identity, which is fascinating.
So just the second issue that I just wanted to cover with you was, what's your thought on the benefits and the likelihood of good card space or info card integration with OpenID?
Well, the great thing about OpenID is if you want to integrate something like card space, you can just do it.
Yeah.
All you need to do is set up an OpenID provider, configure it to accept card space, and you're done.
Yeah.
And I think there's at least one OpenID provider that's doing that already.
Yeah.
And it's a very obvious thing for other providers to pick up. So it's already happened, and then the moment that happens, all of the other sites that accept OpenID
yeah.
can now benefit from that technology without having to even implement that technology.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. I mean, it's really exciting, and the more innovation there is around sort of stronger authentication methods with mm-hmm. OpenID providers, the better. I was really excited to see this company just a few days ago start offering hardware tokens mm-hmm. for authenticating your OpenID. So that actually, I think for $40, they'll send you a USB stick with yeah. strong cryptography on it, which you need to authenticate with their provider. And that kind of stuff is just brilliant. That's going to be a huge part of the sort of the security of OpenID, I think. Right.
Okay, I guess down to my last question, and it's more, if we were to have this conversation 2 years from now,
mm-hmm.
and I hope we will, but what do you think would have happened in these 2 years?
Oh, I mean, in this game, it's impossible to predict sort of 2 months in advance, so two years is pretty far. I mean, I think 2 years is long enough to see mainstream adoption of at least some of the benefits of OpenID. And I've been saying, at least for the past year, that I wasn't expecting mainstream adoption until the early adopters, for quite a while, because you need the early adopters in first. But I think 2 years will be long enough for enough early adopters to have knocked it around, enough companies to have started using it for internal things, that there will be at least some element of mainstream usage. And I think that's going to be really exciting.
Thank you, Simon. That was terrific. It's good to have you here. And we look forward to having you here again.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.